welcome to season two of The Jiffy, a podcast about upstate New York that really takes you places. I'm James Cave, and, you know, in the downtime between seasons one and two of this show, I've had time to think. I've had time to sit and think with my thoughts, and I've realized that all throughout season one, and even from the first time I produced a trailer, the first trailer I ever produced for the show, I've been really irresponsible by throwing around that word so recklessly, upstate. That's why I've chosen to start not just this episode, but this entire season, season two, here at Ward's Point on Staten Island. This is the southernmost point in New York State, and I'm standing here on the beach looking out at Raritan Bay. I'm near the historic Conference House, which, as it happens, was pivotal in the American Revolution, maybe part of my Jifty 250 series, but that's a different topic. Anyway, I'm here because I want to turn around and look northward, because I feel like, now that I'm looking northward from here, southernmost point of New York State, would everything north of here technically be considered upstate from where I stand? I filmed a video here in partnership with NewYorkUpstate.com because I wanted to ask the people of social media this very question. Where does upstate begin? But more importantly, why do they think that their boundary was the boundary? And I received a lot of insightful comments. For example, someone said, the question is, quote, the question is so annoyingly persistent because there is, in all caps, no answer. And another person said, quote, anywhere above 287, Highway 287 is upstate, end quote. And another person said, quote, this is why I think of everything other than Long Island and the city as the mainland, which I thought was really interesting. But what I really liked were all the comments, and there were many, that said that something to the effect of, well, upstate begins once you start driving up and see Stewart shops along the road. Yes, the gas station dairy stores that are beloved around here. And I thought that was really insightful. So in this episode, I'm heading north from Ward's Point in search of upstate. Where is it? Is it even real? Is it a place on a map? And along the way, I'm going to ask experts about it. We'll hear from writers, geographers, professors, journalists, and me. I'll just try to answer this question. So here we go. It's the Jiffy Podcast, Season 2. A podcast about upstate New York that really takes you places. And in this episode, I guess I'm going to take you to find upstate itself, starting at Stewart's shops. Okay, we're here. I'm driving to Goshen, New York, in Orange County. We're about 60 miles north of New York City now. And, oh, here's a fun fact about Goshen. It's apparently well known for its roots in harness racing. It's also home to the Harness Racing Museum and the Hall of Fame of the Trotter. But that's not why I'm here. In my New York upstate video, as I said, there were people who commented by saying that the key to finding upstate New York is to find the first Stewart's shop as you drive north. So here we are. I've confirmed with someone at Stewart's shop's consumer affairs department that this Goshen store number 323, is the southernmost Stewart's shop location, which means, according to these commenters, this is where upstate begins. So I'm standing here in the parking lot, and I'm looking around. Looks like across the street there's a Citgo gas station. I don't know what part of New York State that might be, but I'm here. I'm at this store number 323. Does upstate radiate out from this one location? Like, is this the center of upstate New York? Or does it form a latitudinal line, like a straight line across the state, like the equator? And if I, you know, walk over here in my downstate, upstate feels kind of the same. I don't know. Let's go in. Let's go in and see. Let's ask someone once and for all what the staff of Stewart's Shops has to say about their very influential role in trying to find the geography of New York State. Okay, I'm not allowed to record inside the Stewart's Shops here. Apparently, they run a tight ship over there at corporate headquarters. But the store manager did tell me that the upstate downstate question is a topic of conversation with their customers. So they do know that they're potentially on the borderland. But what I love about this interpretation is that it's a sort of folk boundary, I guess. And I'm getting back in the car now and I'm driving. And we're heading over the Mid-Hudson Bridge now, and we're going to go into Poughkeepsie, okay? This is because this is where we can find Dr. Harvey Flad. Dr. Flad has spent more than 50 years at Vassar College in Poughkeepsie studying something that he calls the geographical imagination. This is an idea that places like the Hudson Valley are sort of constructed as a destination through the imaginations of others, through things that we're exposed to as viewers of paintings or, you know, readers of novels. I'm thinking of the Hudson River School of Painters, Washington Irving, you know, books like that that start to shape our individual perceptions or ideas of this place. And Dr. Flad's theory is really interesting. Like, the landscape is an idea before it becomes a destination. And so I wanted to ask him, is this the same thing that we could apply to, you know, this notion of, quote, upstate New York? Could we even place upstate New York on a map? Here's Dr. Harvey Flad.
Some of the responses that I've been hearing from people about their interpretation of where upstate begins is sort of like a state of mind. You know it when you feel it. And I think that we have this idea of what upstate New York is. But where does that come from? Like, I think of all the cultural influences across history that may have shaped our idea of what it is. The Hudson River School, or this idea of all the resorts, or whatever the Taconic is, or the way traffic seems to feel different the more rural you get, the more aggressive it is closer to the city. Where does this idea as upstate, as a constructed cultural geography, really come into play? Like, over the histories of the centuries of perception, art, storytelling, all of that history.
Well, you certainly hit on one that I've written a lot about, which is Hudson River School of Art. And so when Thomas Cole looked at it in terms of the wilderness in 1820, and then came up again with Frederick Churchill Leader and all the Hudson River School painters, they were certainly looking at this environment, which was particularly the Catskills and the Shongums, in which is, we can say, well, it's certainly Ulster County, but it's also mid-Hudson, you will say. And they also traveled all the way to the Adirondacks. The Adirondack Museum has some wonderful Hudson River School work that was done in the Adirondacks. So we began to get this sense of this place, this upstate, if you will, is very different than downstate, which is to say the industrialized urban sort of core, New York City, certainly, but that also pushes out a little bit up, you know, as far up into Westchester County and Peekskill and so forth like that. So that begins to, for perceptually, certainly for folks, in the sense where the view of the landscape becomes a key to how you think about the place that you are in. And so we have all these definitions of rural, exurban, et cetera. And clearly, you know, the view of many is to say, well, we have that mix, which is a very nice mix between urban and rural. That does occur as you get into the mid-Hudson and then into the upper Hudson Valley. And, you know, it's a part, when I mentioned the Catskills and so forth, and you mentioned the Taconics, that gives us a physical frame, certainly, east-west. But the north-south frame is really from the Adirondacks down to New York City. And the importance of this sort of vertical and horizontal framing, it becomes quite interesting, I think. As a matter of fact, And part of that is because who are we now in the 21st century and 20th century and 21st century? But we see our landscapes out the window of a car. That's how we identify ourselves in space in many ways. And so and of course that goes all the way back historically in terms of the valley as it is, which is where the Hudson River flows, is where we are encompassed in our our space is, it's not confined, but it is certainly, we feel ourselves in a space, this large space, east west, but also north south. Now, the question on what's upstate versus downstate in that sense is that you get to a point, certainly in about halfway, if we would, Dutchess County lies, and the Mid-Hudson is given the moniker of the Mid-Hudson to define it from upstate, but it's part of upstate. One cultural way of looking at it, you mentioned going to Stewart's to ask folks about it, but Stewart's, you know, has newspapers for sale. And it's interesting to figure out, to some degree, how far north the New York Times is sold and how far south the Albany Times Union is sold at the Stewart's or anywhere else, or people's subscriptions to them. And so you have the Kingston Freeman in there and the Poughkeepsie Journal when it existed. So it is interesting to see where people are getting their news from in that way. Communication of where are you and what are you doing. That's the nature of perception. Perception is partly defined also by one's own history. And so what you have, interestingly enough, certainly since COVID is a good time period to take a look at this, in which you had many from New York City coming up into the Mid-Hudson, certainly, and as far as upstate, if you would say Columbia County is that part as well, and some living in rural small farmhouses and so forth that they purchase and as second homes and then become, that's where they live. So that's been a big demographic switch, and how they define themselves as they are defining themselves as going upstate. All right. And now those of us who live maybe up here don't necessarily, you know, require that to be our definition of where we are. But it's important for the Manhattanites and indeed the whole core of the urban region down there to consider themselves as separate from the suburban, or not suburban, but so much as the rural as they see it. Even though, of course, we have the cities of Newburgh and Kingston and Poughkeepsie and, of course, Albany. And even saying upstate New York is, for some, would not even include the Adirondacks because they don't understand the interplay of the wild with the humanized.
Yeah. Turn that off. Okay, hey there, welcome back. We're still on the road trip here, and while you were listening to my conversation with Dr. Flad, we've left Poughkeepsie. I've made it up the Taconic Parkway. Now we're in Albany, the state capital, which is perfect timing, actually, because if what Dr. Flad says is the case with how we can imagine a place into being, well, now I'm wondering what happens when the law gets involved, because in my research for that NewYorkUpstate.com video, I noticed that some lawmakers determine what is and isn't upstate New York ends up as written law, and sometimes it doesn't agree with other laws. Like, for example, this is going to get a little wonky, so just bear with me, but New York Transportation Law Section 457 classifies the upstate region as consisting of all counties of New York State not included in subparagraphs which describe the Hudson Valley, Long Island, or New York City regions. So according to this law, the Hudson Valley, you're not part of upstate there, but New York Energy Law Article 6, Section 102, divides New York into upstate and downstate, and upstate excludes the counties Dutchess and Ulster and then everything south. So it's very confusing. And also, speaking of Albany, I actually just heard back from Maria M. Silva. She's a staff writer for the Times Union, and she writes, I really like what Maria writes because she covers labor, food, hospitality, poverty, immigration, and how all of those topics intersect here in the Hudson Valley. And I wanted to know like, what is a newspaper's point of view, editorial guidelines, their editorial standpoint on this upstate boundary line? And she tells me here that her editor told her that the Times Union's definition of upstate is, this is a quote, basically anything north of the Mario M. Cuomo Bridge, Tappan Zee Bridge. She goes on to say, sometimes we just use upstate because it's much shorter in headlines than Hudson Valley, Capital Region, or whatever county we're talking about in a story, and says that for us, upstate is equivalent to the communities north of New York City that we cover, Hudson Valley and Capital Region. And she also mentioned Mario M. Cuomo, and you know what? Now that we're here in Albany, I think it's time to go pick the brain of Bennett Liebman, because Mr. Liebman grew up in Jamaica, Queens. Okay, he went to college in Schenectady. He spent his legal career in Albany and has lived upstate for 45 years. He's currently the government lawyer in residence at Albany Law School's Government Law Center. And early in his career, he was counsel to a young politician from South Jamaica, Queens, who'd also made a trip north, former Governor Mario Cuomo. Liebman has seen the downstate-upstate question personally, and he's had to interact with it professionally from inside the machinery that occasionally has to draw a line. Like when New York passed its casino legislation in 2013, Liebman was there.
It's been a long-standing, I'd say, cultural and political question. It's been there really certainly since the really the 19th century, and it's continued now. By now, it's more, I think, more a political issue than anything else. Is everybody has his or her own definition of what upstate might mean. Now, I was born in Queens, basically grew up in Nassau County. I've gone to school in Manhattan and in Suffolk counties, and I've lived up here for 45 years. And so I've got I wouldn't call it the New York State equivalent of a bi-coastal view of upstate, downstate. Growing up, to me, upstate meant you got on the thruway, and once you got on the thruway past, let's say, Suffern, you were upstate. That was especially true because I had relatives who lived in Woodstock, and that was definitely upstate in the 1960s. So that's where I started. For my working definition, going back and forth between upstate and downstate, I'd say in the 80s and 90s, in the years before Apple CarPlay and satellite radio, my definition of what upstate New York meant was approximately mileposts 40 on the state thruway, because around Tuxedo, New York, because that's where the FM stations from New York City faded out. So you knew you were not in the New York City area after that. So my working definition was an FM-derived one. So that's where I came from. But, I mean, we've seen this play out so many times over, really, now centuries. I mean, the oddest thing you see is really is in 1860 and 1861, when the mayor of New York City, Fernando Wood, living in an area that was pro-slave trade because of New York City's reliance on cotton industry, proposed that Manhattan, Staten Island, and Long Island secede from New York State and form their own separate state. Almost had a shot at coming into existence, except that the Civil War started before any action could be taken on it. But that was a very serious proposal in 1860 and 1861.
That's something I wanted to ask you about, because a friend of mine who's a historian said, oh, yeah, you know, it goes back to basically colonial New York when you have the seat of the government being so northern of where most of the people lived downstate and, you know, Manhattan Island. And I wanted to know your thought about, like, you know, go now, you your career took you to the governor's office. And I wanted to know if the upstate downstate divide is treated, like, what are the conversations like?
The only time that really came down to a specific boundary was in the creation in 2013 of the first casino law. And the casino law, the idea was that we were going to establish four upstate casinos. The question was, what was the dividing line? Because if you, the belief was, and probably it was not, it turns out probably not to be a valid one, was that casino operators would want to be as close to downstate New York as possible, so that you needed to create a boundary for upstate casinos. And our boundary was, you know, downstate meant New York City, Nassau and Suffolk counties, Rockland, Westchester, and Putnam. We wrote that in the governor's office. And to be honest with you, we did not face much feedback or much, we did not hear too much from the legislature complaining about that. The one issue, I guess there are two issues. One, and we, those of us who drafted it had no direct dealings at all with Governor Cuomo, but we heard through his representative that he wanted to know why Putnam County was considered downstate. And we had to, you know, we basically gave a response, which was it was on the east side of the Hudson, so that close enough to New York that we thought it had to be considered downstate. The other, we didn't hear this much about this, but I have a feeling that there, that some people were worried that the inclusion of Orange County upstate, what might have been an issue because it made it somewhat less likely that people would want to locate their casinos in the traditional Catskills. That people might think, well, if I can get a place closer to, let's say, Harriman or Monroe, New York, or even Newburgh, that I have a better location than other locations. But it really, we faced much less opposition or even questioning than I would have thought. But, and we did that one. I mean, there have been other attempts. There are other laws, not really many, that, that try to define the difference between upstate and downstate. The legislation creating the Metropolitan Transportation Authority gives membership to Orange, Dutchess, Putnam, and Rockland. But at the, and this is from the late 60s, but it's not really an upstate downstate issue. It's really where does Metro North run? And those are the counties in which they run. In 2007, the incoming Elliott Spitzer administration split up the economic development and Empire State Development into an upstate and downstate groups. But there doesn't appear to be a clear definition of what they meant by that.
Okay, well, as we wrap up, is there any final thoughts that you would like to leave us with on this topic?
It's something that won't die. It just won't die. I mean, for whatever reason, we can never fully resolve what people think of upstate or downstate. I mean, by now, I'm just thinking that, you know, we have these communities in the Hudson Valley that now seem more downstate than upstate. And we have places in Staten Island, probably central Suffolk, that consider that, that don't consider themselves downstate. So it's very different. The boundaries have always changed. I mean, before the bridges across the Hudson, people in Rockland County certainly didn't think they were downstate. I mean, they thought they were in almost a separate area. But before the Tappan Zee, Malcolm Wilson, Mario Cuomo Bridge, they were certainly upstate.
Okay, oh, here we are. We're still in the car. We're now arriving, we're driving, and we are approaching Oneonta, New York, even further north, okay? It's the city of the hills. And their city slogan on their website actually is, "We're the city of Oneonta. We're onto something." And I think I'm getting closer to imagining my map of upstate New York. But to help me do this, and I'm talking about at the granular level, I'm going to go check in with Dr. Wendy Lacell. Okay, Wendy. She prefers Wendy. She's taught geography at SUNY Oneonta for more than 20 years. She grew up on Staten Island, and when she was 12, her family moved across the boundary line up into Cooperstown. And every semester, she gives her students this assignment. Draw the boundary line on a map of New York State. Then they come back and they talk about it. They discuss. They explain what they found. And oh, I just love this idea for an assignment. It does feel very appropriate for this episode and pertinent for this road trip. So I wanted to know more.
The course itself covers all of the Northeast as best we can. We can't do everything. But so it's a course in the tradition of regional geography where we talk about how do you define regions? What are the regions? What types of regions exist? And then we sort of do case studies on places from everything from New York City and the Jersey Shore to Acadia National Park in Maine. And then I do an activity. It's a week-long activity right in the beginning of the semester, kind of to break the ice and to get students excited about geography and the concept of regions, because it sounds kind of boring, to be honest, when you just think about the concept of regions. But it's so much fun. I developed this exercise where students have to first learn about some places in New York State, develop their own map of important places that help define upstate from downstate. We have a fun discussion about it in class, and then they go out onto the campus and interview employees and students and show them their reference map of New York State and ask them, where would you draw the line between upstate and downstate and why? So they get all kinds of answers from that question. And then they come back to class and they have to analyze the results. And then they create their final map based on everything they've learned. I've noticed it's more students who are upstate, that live upstate and have experience with upstate, will draw kind of a loop or a narrow sliver north, going north up the Hudson River, not all the way to Albany. There's a clear understanding from everybody, agreement that Albany is upstate. But they go north up the Hudson River to at least Kingston, sometimes Hudson, and draw that sliver down south to include it in downstate, because they have this perception that it is busier there and more crowded and more diverse restaurants and shops and that sort of thing. And we also talk about tourism, so that can play a role, especially the students have previously taken my tourism geography class because I cover the Hudson region in that class. Yeah.
What are those discussions like, and how do they change once they come back with all these findings?
The discussion in the beginning is pretty basic, and they don't know a lot of the nuances yet. They get perspective from other people that they don't have themselves. So if somebody is from Long Island or Brooklyn, they immediately jump to, well, everything north of Yonkers is upstate, or even Westchester County. And then once they start talking to people, they realize, oh, maybe it's more complicated than that. And they start to bring in other ideas into their definition.
Like, what are these nuances that they tend to learn about that maybe we could all learn about a bit?
Right. One of the fun nuances is politics. That's one of my favorite ones to introduce into their, well, I let them discover it first, but, you know, they automatically assume based on media and what they hear from their parents and these sorts of things that downstate is liberal and blue and upstate is red and conservative. And then as they start diving into it and learning more, they realize, oh, it's not as straightforward as that, right? You could look at Ithaca and see just how progressive they are versus where they actually were one of the only counties upstate in the primaries to vote for Obama. And then places like Staten Island are quite conservative and red and very different from the rest of New York City. So they start seeing those nuances and say, oh, well, maybe it's not as simple as saying politics is upstate versus downstate in that north-south kind of understanding of it.
I'm finding in talking with people that there's this historic or historical tension that has always been there between like who gets to say what and they're way up there, they don't know what's going on down here or vice versa. So right. I wonder how you think about that in your work and what you're seeing in some of these research.
Yeah, certainly, because it's sort of this understanding that everybody upstate hates downstate and they take all our money and they, you know, where really it's the opposite. Downstate provides more money, but they have this perception upstate that downstate is this kind of evil entity that controls everything and takes all our money and we don't have a say. So I hear that a lot from the students, which is fascinating because Albany is upstate, but they view really like the governors as more tied to downstate, things like that. So
I'd love to hear your concept of vernacular region. I thought that was so interesting to see because you talk about how you let students know that regions aren't always so cut and dry. So I'd love to hear you talk more about that because it feels like this upstate boundary is perhaps imaginary or perhaps always changing based on X number of, you know, variables. So tell me about that.
In geography, we have formal regions, which are clearly defined, let's say on precipitation or a political boundary like a county. But then we have these vernacular regions, which are based on perception and experiences within the culture. So people have their own unique ideas about places. But when we start to see a common perception about a place, a vernacular can develop, like down the shore in New Jersey, or the valley in Los Angeles, or of course, upstate, downstate New York. And vernaculars have different nuanced meanings to different people, but there's still some shared concepts, ideas, values that are tied to those. But usually a vernacular comes with that identity or cultural meaning that even if there's disagreements in the details, there's that overall agreement.
When you mentioned that you have lived all over parts of New York, as you started getting more into geography and looking at this as a field of study, when did you first start becoming accustomed to the idea of upstate in your life and then in your work? And what do you have to say about those boundaries?
Well, I remember it from a kid growing up in Staten Island because my family would go camping upstate, right? And it really wasn't that far north from New York City, but we would go upstate camping. And so it was always kind of part of my vernacular in my family. And then when I was 12, my family moved from Staten Island to Cooperstown. Very different places. And I actually had a perception as a kid. I remember this very clearly. I thought on my first day of school, my classmates would be all dressed in overalls and chewing hay. That was the image in my mind. I thought they were all farmers. And right. So obviously I was wrong.
Where do you think that comes from, though? That, you know, you collect that from somewhere, right? Like, I don't know, they're stereotypes. Like, where do they come from?
Right. It comes from, I think, people having lack of experience traveling to other places. And you develop ideas based on what you hear or pictures you see. And it's not necessarily reality, but it develops in your brain through all these different inputs. You know, media is a big input as well. And it's interesting to think about how social media, how much it's changed our inputs to see how that impacts people's perception of place. And I haven't done any work on that, but I'm really interested in reading some. Keep in mind that perceptions are not reality, and go explore places that you don't understand because it will broaden your viewpoints, it'll change your mind, it will inspire you. You might meet people that you have connections with that you never imagined you would have connections with. So, you know, geography really is about exploration and understanding both the physical landscapes, but also the people of different cultures. And New York State is so varied in its landscape and cultures. It's so interesting that just get in the car, get on the train, get on a bus, whatever you need to do, and go to different places you've never been and experience it. It's wonderful.
Turn that off. Now, I have to tell you, a colleague of Wendy's at SUNY Oneonta is named Brian Collins. He is also in the geography department, but where Wendy's focus is on the experiential, perceptual upstate, Brian studies the agriculture, the local food systems of it all through data, and how communities define themselves through what they grow and who they sell to. His is a view of upstate through a farmer's lens, and here's what he told me.
I just think it's important to know that, you know, upstate's not a fixed place. It's fluid. And there's really two ways you can try to analyze this. One is through the data-driven method, using GIS and mapping things like property values, commuting levels, vacancy rates, et cetera. Or, you know, you can ask people. You can say, how does this upstate downstate question personally impact you? Right. The example I gave was, if you're a farmer, you consider yourself a downstate farmer in the sense of what foods you grow, what sorts of markets you sell to. If you want to tap into that New York City market, right, that's an option for you. Or if you consider yourself an upstate farmer and you don't want to deal with that and you focus on farmers markets, selling to your local community. So I'd say upstate's, it's not a fixed place. You can try to quantify it with data. But really, it's a socially constructed idea. So we ask people about it.
This brings me, finally, back downstate a bit. We've driven back down now. And we're in Kingston, New York. And this is where we find Brian K. Mahoney. Brian is the editorial director for the Chronogram Media family of publications. That includes Chronogram Magazine, Rural Intelligence, which is my neighborhood local news website. I love Rural Intelligence. But it also includes two publications called Upstater and Upstate House. And so when I emailed him to ask about how he instructs his writers and editors to negotiate this upstate sort of situation, actually, in a wild coincidence, this also happens to be the topic of his editor's note in April's issue this month of Chronogram Magazine, which just came out. So in a piece titled, How Not to Offend the Locals, Brian writes, Upstate is not a place. It is an idea that exists primarily in the minds of people who live in New York City. In that mental geography, everything north of the last subway stop dissolves into a pastoral blur of barns, antique stores, and ethically sourced firewood. It is a useful fiction, but a fiction nonetheless. Okay, so as you can imagine, I hoped that Brian would have more to say on this, and thankfully, he answered my call.
Chronogram Media publishes a number of publications. Chronogram is our flagship, so we also publish a magazine called Upstate House, okay? And we also have a publication, a digital publication called Upstater. So I say that with self-awareness for what I'm about to say. We prohibit the use of upstate in Chronogram Media publications because upstate is not a place, it is a myth, and it is a way for people from New York City and elsewhere to try and talk about this kind of aspiration of life in the country. And so, you know, for those of us who live in the Hudson Valley, you know, we live in real places where we pay taxes, where we're on the volunteer fire department squad, where we have squabbles with our neighbors. You know, these are places where, although we may wear Blundstones, we're actually out like raking the leaves and dealing with our neighbors and dealing with actual, you know, issues here. It's not a place that goes away when the weekenders leave. Like up. So I reject the idea of upstate entirely. And so I don't know if you've encountered this at all in like how you deal with people, because most people get into this really kind of micro kind of thing. Well, is it like for someone who lives, you know, in Tribeca, it may be like Upstate starts at 14th Street, or someone else is like Yonkers is where Upstate starts. And I'm just, I reject this entire argument. I care a lot about language and the way language is used. And I feel in a time when language becomes more thoroughly degraded by the minutes, more tenacious in its defense. And so when you reached out to me about this term upstate, I had just been thinking about it and had just finished a column the day before talking about it. And, you know, part of it really gets to this idea that, you know, we all have arrived from somewhere. Like, I moved up from Brooklyn, you know, in 1996, right? I'm not from the Hudson Valley. And so growing up in New York City, I thought of the Hudson Valley as upstate because that was my point of view. You know, the kind of a wonderful analog to this is that great Saul Steinberg illustration of a New Yorker's view of America. And you have, you know, like New York City, Manhattan, Jersey, and then like this kind of vast wasteland, and then like California somewhere in the distance. And it really, Steinberg really captured this kind of myopic New York City view, which is encapsulated in this term upstate.
So how do you reconcile it with your other properties that are that basically their brand identity is to talk about upstate living, upstate lifestyle, and things like that in their title?
Yeah, I mean, we need to make a living. I'm not immune to search engine optimization. I'm not immune to, you know, having to pay my mortgage, you know, and so. And I also, we launched those properties. Well, we acquired Upstater. So, I mean, interestingly, the Upstater property was launched by someone living in Manhattan who started a real estate blog and it was about, here are these properties upstate for people who are trapped in cubicles in New York City, right? And so we eventually acquired that. Upstate House was a property that we launched in 2003, 2004, and that was influenced by the kind of influx after 9/11. And so people were moving up here and we're like, let's launch a high-end real estate magazine. And it made sense to call it that because it's what people think of, right? When they think of this place. And so that was a way to get on people's radars, you know. But I regret it slightly? Sure. But now I've been, for the past 20 years, been playing, you know, a kind of editorial rear guard action against it.
You just rebranded it as Here. It's just titled Here.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because your column talks about what it means to be a local, how to be a local, how to anger locals. And so I did want to, yeah, you kind of touched on it there, but I want to know when you thought of yourself as being of the community, more or less a local in Kingston when you moved there.
I'm a tourist, right? So here's the thing. I have a privileged view as a journalist because I feel like I interact, but I kind of am still separate. It's like Nick Carraway in Gatsby. He's in the scene, but he's more of an observer than a participant, right? That's the journalist's view. I can go to the No Kings rally as a journalist, but I'm not carrying a placard, right? It's a feint, it's a dodge in a way, but it allows me to do that in a way. If I was like, you talk to business owners, right? Someone who opens a business in a community, and I co-own a business in this community and have for decades, and you know, so I have there are real stakes, and I want we are champions of local business because that's what fuels our business, and also I believe in local business. Like, I would rather buy from the local bike shop and buy a bike online, buy a book in a real bookstore, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, people who interact daily with their customers need to feel grounded in place. And so, I mean, I've tried to ground myself in place, but not to, you know, the thing that I wrote about in my column was what set the entire thing in motion was I interviewed a woman who had moved up from Brooklyn into some place like out right outside of Chatham. And she's opening up this like little provisions market. It's a very precious thing. And she's like, I feel like there's a real renaissance happening here. And I'm so happy to be a part of it. As if like you come into this place and now you're completing it. It's like you're that last piece of the jigsaw puzzle that we needed. like, which completely, like, it's a cultural amnesia.
I'm asking people what should I take away from this related to me throwing that word around on all my masthead and all my newsletter and everything, my email signature, Upstate New York, the Jiffy, a podcast or newsletter about Upstate New York that takes you places. Should I rethink it? You've got me having this existential crisis.
Look, Upstate as a term is a fiction. It's a useful fiction. It's a useful fiction, right? It is a way to talk about not a specific place, but an idea about a place. And so a myth will have different people will project different things onto it. So it allows for a different dream to be had by a vast different number of people. And also, you know, within that to have kind of differences, arguments, squabbles about what it all means. So I think from a journalist perspective, like, it's a great topic to untangle, right? I've planted my flag on the demolition of the term, but and it's an easy flag to plant because I know it won't come to pass. Like, I could stand on the street corner every day with my sign saying, "Down with Upstate," and it won't matter. It won't fucking matter.
Well, this brings us to the end of our road trip through Upstate New York. I don't know if I'm closer to finding it, but I do have a better understanding of my relationship with the term. I'd love to know what you think Upstate is, and I've actually got a link to the map that Wendy Lacelle uses with her students. You can find it in my show notes, and if you take it and draw your boundary, I'd love to see it. You can share it with me on Instagram or email it to me. Just respond to my newsletter. You can find it at thejiffy.xyz. And Wendy also drew her Upstate boundary line on the map. I'll include it in my newsletter tomorrow as well. And that does it for this episode of The Jiffy. This season on the podcast, I've got so much planned. I'm going to explore more of my version of Upstate New York, the non-Manhattan regions, I guess what I'll say. Regardless, I've got some really fun stories about cows that you should know, stories about artists and muralists, and we're going to do some artist studio visits. I've got a story exploring the H2A program and migrant farm workers here in Hudson Valley, a biography of Frederick Church, and we're going to go search for Rip Van Winkle. And of course, I've got more sleep hikes and local news and gossip from the 1800s. It's all coming up this season. So I hope you'll subscribe to this show and my newsletter and follow along on Instagram. I am at James Cave on Instagram. And until next time, I'll see you over on the Instagram feed.